My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert, recording this episode for Sunday, August 28th, 2022. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. If you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Give this show a 5-star review. Let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival and subscribe for $3 a month for hours and hours and hours of bonus content. I want to shout out a brand new pledge, Al. Thank you so much, Al, for subscribing. Really appreciate you. I hope you enjoy the bonus content. You'll have a fresh one by the time you all are listening to this. It'll be up there on the paywall, behind the paywall. This is episode 594. There's no guests. It's just me sitting here in my apartment on a Friday morning. I'm breaking the podcast production fourth wall. You're going to get this on Sunday, but I'm recording it on Friday. Kind of playing hooky. I took a vacation day. I've been grinding, as the people on the internet say. Do people say grinding anymore? I'm not 100% sure. But I've been really busy with stuff. So the podcast has been coming out at weird times and all that stuff. So I'm trying to do like a reset, like a not necessarily a hard reset, but just be like, okay, recording this is going to come out Sunday. It's normal time. So the five of you that listen to it on Sundays, you'll have it. And I'm going to do that for you. And I'm going to try to keep doing that as long as possible. Thank you so much for everybody who listened and liked our Better Call Saul roundtable finale breakdown series. Breakdown or whatever the hell we did, Rod and Dr. P, the great Dr. Veronica Paredes. That I hope, thanks for listening. I had a lot of fun doing that. I think that was a terrific series. I enjoyed it. I watched El Camino a couple days ago, and just to reorient myself to the series again, and I'll probably go back and watch Breaking Bad pretty soon too. The thing about AMC is that even if you have on demand, they still try to charge you for stuff. So I think you can get the last 6 or 7 episodes. You can watch that on demand. But the first few episodes of the first half of season 6, you have to pay for. It's unless you have AMC Plus. AMC Plus is low-key pretty dope. I did like a 7-day free trial, but they always pull you in. There's so much stuff, and it's all spread out over all these streaming platforms, and it's cool and to get access to all this content, but it's just like, it's a lot, man. I think you end up paying, and I'm not the first person to say this, but if you have basic cable and you have all these subscriptions, you it ain't even low key. You end up paying about as much as you would if you had regular cable with all those channels and stuff. So I don't know, man. It's a lot. It's expensive. I'll always keep Netflix. I think Hulu is good. They all have interesting shows, and HBO Max is still good, but it's a shit show over there. I hope they keep some of these good shows. I hope Rap Shit isn't affected by all the shit that's going on over there, because that's a good show. I like that. I just watched The Rehearsal. I watched that last Sunday. I just kind of blew through all five of those episodes. Really good, really interesting. I wonder what the budget is. Some of my actor friends that like some this, I wonder how much budget that they gave him, because I don't know. I don't like how he treated those people. I just wonder what it's fascinating. It's something different, you know, because people, some of the most popular television that from a universal standpoint seems to be this reality television that's also scripted. And I'm not saying anything new about that, but that people love that 90 Day Fiance, The Real Housewives. And I don't judge people for watching and liking it, but you can't get mad when HBO does something similar, some kind of, I don't know. It kind of became like a, definitely had some Truman Show vibes to it. Schenectady, New York. That movie came out like maybe the early aughts. Like maybe when did that movie come out? That Philip Seymour Hoffman movie, Schenectady, New. When was that? 2008. Yeah, I was gonna say 2007, but that was 2008. Oh, it's on Hulu. I ought to watch that, because it's been a long time since I've seen that. Very Brechtian, Pirandello. I'm being a theater nerd right now, using the little bit of my education that Joe Biden helped me out with. Thanks, Joe. We did it, Joe. Thank you so much, Joe, for that. Yeah, it's really interesting. Nathan Fielder, I knew of him, and I know that Nathan For You is popular, but I had never seen that show. So The Rehearsal was my introduction to Nathan Fielder's work, and it's really interesting. And I thought I was talking to someone about it, and she didn't like it. She hated it, but she watched all of the episodes. She binged like me. I think we had happened to be binging it around the same time, because I saw her write about it on Facebook, and I was like, you're watching? And then we were like DMing and stuff. She's like, I hate it. And I was just like, oh, because there was some sweet moments in it too that I got emotional watching. And I guess in my older age, as I get older, I'm becoming more and more sensitive. I'm a Pisces. I've always been sensitive, but there were a couple moments that definitely got me emotional, and just that I wasn't expecting, because it did take some turns. I think it's an interesting show, so I do recommend The Rehearsal. I watched that, and I finished Only Murders in the Building. I waited till the finale, so I think I started on Tuesday and finished it. I think I finished it yesterday, and I enjoyed it. It's good. And then they're coming back. So it's a fun show. It's just a really fun, funny, compelling, very interesting. That's an interesting Steve Martin, you know, and oh my God, what is wrong with me? Wow. What a weird, and Martin Short. God, thank God I didn't have to look that up. I've been having these like brain farts where I'm not remembering people's name, but I've done that throughout my whole time doing this podcast. But Only Murders in the Building, great. I loved it. Obviously, I love Selena Gomez. I think that's an interesting triplet. It's an interesting group. Like you obviously you think Martin Short, Steve Martin work well together, but then they work well with Selena Gomez. I think she adds something interesting and funny to it too. I mean, she's had obviously hasn't been around as long as those guys, but she's done Disney Channel work. So, I mean, Wizards of Waverly Place. I mean, she did her thing, guys. I did watch that. Yeah, not, you know, Selena Gomez is legal. She's 30 years old, and it's okay for me to have watched that show. And so that was good. And I also watched season 3 of Never Have I Ever, the Mindy Kaling helmed show, which is another great show. It's another fun. It's just a fun, even more so than Only Murders, because somebody dies in that. Never Have I Ever, very pleasant. The actors are all really good. And I just enjoyed it. It was just fun to consume and kind of chill at, and watch after a long day. I really dug that. So that's what I've been watching on the TV front. I see where, I don't know how this is happening, but Kevin Can F Himself. I don't know they're on season 2. I was talking about that a couple weeks ago. I don't know if it's going to come out on Amazon Prime or what, but my Apple TV, it popped. I recorded it on my DVR, but it popped up on my Apple TV, and I'm wondering if I'll be able to watch that even though I'm not subscribed to AMC Plus. So I don't know. Either way, I can watch it on my DVR after I've banked a few. But I've just become so used to consuming all this content without commercials. So as great as Better Call Saul is, it's still just great to consume. And I noticed this when I was rewatching the series, finishing everything up on Netflix. It's just so, it moves so smoothly. And these commercials, I don't want to see a commercial about, you know, erectile dysfunction while I'm trying to watch, you know, Better Call Saul. And it's just nice to just get it, go straight through, plow through and watch them and not have those commercials. Like YouTube, you know, they interrupt. So I think that's all the TV stuff that I've been into. Patreon folks, you'll get a letterbox dump. But yeah, I'm glad to be back on the mic with you guys, trying to get some kind of normalcy back in my life. But just things, nothing bad. It's just been really busy with stuff, busy with auditions, just plugging away at that, getting better as an artist. I think auditioning a lot helps you with your craft. And so that's been good. Getting some good ones, getting some big ones, coming close to stuff. I feel like I got my foot in the door. Got my foot in the door and I'm prying it open. I'm slowly and slowly prying that bitch open. And I'm going to get in there and knock that fucking door down and then try to, you know, keep taking it to the next level. So it's been fun. Last night I did stand up, you guys. I did stand up in Staten Island, the Manny and Friends comedy variety show. I did it in Staten Island at the Flagship Brewery out there. I had a really good time. It was so much fun. It's always interesting when you're doing a show at a place like that, because that's a brewery. People are drinking. It's in an open space. And it's like you're not necessarily in the brewery where they're making the beer, but you're in the next room where they're doing the tasting and all that stuff. And they had it set up really cool. I'd done that show. The last time I did that show, I would say that it might have been 2014 or 2015. Because I remember doing that show, and it might have been the It might have been 2014. I was telling them last night it could have been 2015. I think it was 2014 because I did that show, and I remember doing that year, later that year, doing a show in South Carolina. And I remember an article came. They did an article about comedy in Staten Island, and they talked about me, my set, saying like, they kind of tried to say I was shitting on the Staten Island, but I wasn't. I don't know. You know, sometimes people can misconstrue stuff, but I wasn't. It wasn't anything bad I said about it. But I think that might have been 2015, 2014 into 2015. Yeah. So I don't know. So it had been a while, and that might have been the last time that I was in Staten Island, I want to say, because I used to do a bunch of shows out there, but this was fun. It was a variety show. So they had an actor that a young woman who was doing like different characters, and she was really funny. They had some stand up, and it's hosted by Manny Rondon and his wife. I think it's his fiance or what? Oops. His lady, Molly Mockett, and they hosted the show together. She was on the boards. He was on stage bringing everybody up. And it was a lot of people there, and he kind of he made sure people were like on like paying attention and stuff. There was a dude, and I wasn't trying to be a diva, but there was a dude that was drunk, and he was recording the comedians. He was performing, recording the performers, and I was like, "You got to tell that dude to stop." And it's like, "You got to," because I'm not trying to be a diva. I just don't think it's right. And he's kind of pulling focus. And I just didn't like that shit. And I wasn't going to go for it by the time I got up there. And so he handled that shit. And it was people talking. He made him shut the fuck up. Because that's just, that's one of those places, man, where stuff can get out of control. But everybody that was there, all the performers did well. And I closed out the show. And right before me was this guy named, you can look at the lineup because I posted it on Instagram. There was this guy named Mr. Pants. And so it was this dude that came on stage and wearing a oversized pants costume, and his head was poking out through the middle. And he did by about 10 minutes of pants jokes, and that motherfucker destroyed. And everybody did well. There was like a rising action to the show. Like everybody that performed did well. But it was just like, yo, this motherfucker was killing. I was like, oh shit. And I hadn't done a set in a couple weeks. And I was like, oh boy. But I wanted to work on some new stuff. So So he destroyed, and I went up there, and cause I posted the pictures this morning. And one of my buddies, I don't think he saw the picture that I posted of Mr. Pants. But he was like, oh, how was it following Mr. Pants? And I sent him a picture, and he was, oh, I guess he looked at my stories and didn't see the post that I made. So I had posted some stories, and I posted the lineup. He's like, oh, what was it like following Mr. Pants? And I was like, this motherfucker killed. And I showed him a picture. Sent him a picture, and he was like, oh shit. And I was like, he destroyed. And he was like, I quit. He obviously didn't quit, but because I see on his Facebook, he's doing a show. So, but it was just so funny. But that dude fucking killed. And I got up there. I did well. I did almost a half hour, and I had fun. I was doing some new stuff. I did like a lot of new and married it with some old stuff, just to give them a show. Cause I get to the point, like the people that listen to this podcast, the hundreds of people that listen, outside of you guys, nobody knows who I am. Nobody knows about Failed Running Back. So I got to kind of get that out of my ego that nobody knows who I am. So I can do these jokes and, with more experience, jokes that were on there and do well. There's some that I don't. There's some on there that I don't do anymore, but You know, that's just an ego thing. I'm still writing and I'm still trying to work on new stuff, but I can always add that stuff because nobody knows who I am. That's just like some ego shit, you know. Now, if I was like really touring and stuff, I wouldn't be doing the same shit, but we've been off for 2 years, really. Some people have, you know, some people have plowed through in the height of the pandemic, you know, and we're technically still in this shit. People are still getting COVID. But man, that was a good time. And it was some of the most fun I've had in a long time on stage, just working my stuff out and just, I had a great time. And it was just good that the new stuff was killing hard. And, these guys approached me after the show, said, "Oh, we're really good. We do this podcast and it's called Kidnap a Comedian." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And he's like, "Well, you want to do it?" And I was like, "Where do you guys do it?" And I said, "Do you do it here?" And they said, "No, we do it at another bar across the street." And I was like, "You know what? I'm not working tomorrow. I'll do it." And so I walked over with one of the guys. And when it comes out, they'll tag me and I'll post it. But I was walking with one of them. The other guy had to get his stuff. Steve, I think Steve and Mike. And I walked over and I was like, "Where is this place?" And it's like, "Oh, you see where those lights are?" And so we kind of keep the mystique of it. You know, we don't tell. And so it happened to be at this place. I forget the name of the place, but it used to be 120 Bay. And comedian Tim Duffy, who's a Staten Island, he lives in Staten Island, and he produced some shows that I did. And I think the last time that I was in Staten Island, I did his show that he hosted at Flagship Brewery, probably like 2014, 2015. And so I got to see him. He came to the show. I got to talk to him. But I had been to that place before. I had performed there before. And it was kind of creepy when we were doing the show. I was like, "You guys can't have any women here. You guys can't have a podcast called Kidnap a Comic and have women on the show. Like, y'all have to do that shit on Zoom." But that's another thing. As a man, you know, you can feel safe doing things like that. But comics, you know, I was like, "Fuck it, man. They want to do a podcast. I know what that's like," you know. So I did it. And we actually had a good conversation. So my car was okay. They drove me back to the lot, and I got home. I'm safe because I'm recording this podcast now. But what a fun night. It was just good to be out, see people that I hadn't seen in a long time, and do a show. I mean, that's what I do. I mean, I'm so, you know, after going through what we've all gone through for the past couple of years, it's good to do that stuff, man. It's good to get back to some, you know, form of normalcy that we talked about, even though we're forever changed by the past couple of years. It's good to persist and try to, you know, bring some joy to people, do what we do, gather as we have been gathering as human beings for the longest time, you know. And it's really, it was really refreshing to do that. Speaking of getting to do fun things, last week, and I think this is what kind of inspired me. I mean, I went to see Allison Leiby, friend of the podcast and Maryland native. She has this one-woman show called Oh God, Another Show About Abortion, and she's been running it at the Cherry Lane Theater in the West Village. And man, it was fucking terrific. It was really, really great. I remember she had this show that she was doing in Brooklyn at Union Hall, and she had been doing it for quite some time. I remember seeing the post, her posting about it. I was like, "Oh, that's cool." And yeah, she does like a little over an hour and change. And it's a story about her abortion, and it kind of had more, how do you say, there's more press around it after the Roe v. Wade decision. And it was in the news. You can look it up and read articles and stuff like that. But if I can get her back on the show, I'd love to talk to her about it. She fucking killed it. It was so good. It was, now to me, I felt like it. I felt, cause I got to talk to her a little bit after the show. I think it still passes as stand up. It is stand up, but like sometimes people say, oh, that's a one woman show. It's a one man show type of thing. You know, there's a, not necessarily controversy about Jerrod Carmichael's special, Rothaniel. I'm not the first person to say this, but like, it seems within the past 10 years, there's not that many specials. It's just like somebody has an hour and they're talking to you for 45 minutes to an hour. Everything is a special, and it's just kind of content, and it's uploaded. You put it on Netflix, you can put it on YouTube, and some are very good. Like I think, more recently, Stavros Halkias had a really good special, and he put his on YouTube. I know other people have do. I'm singling out another Maryland native. Stavros was on the show before he blew up. Stavros was one of the first people to give me a headlining gig at his college at UMBC when he was in school, and he's another person that has gotten the Mundane Festival bump. I'm still waiting to get, I have to do something where I have somebody, I have somebody like, I don't know, Rod Randolph or Andy be a guest host of the Mundane Festival. And then I come on and as a guest, and then maybe my career will take off. Now, I'm not disappointed in my career. I feel like I'm having a good career as an artist with the things that I've done and been able to do. And it is a running joke, though. I mean, you can say, and then through their own drive and artistry and talent, these people have risen to these high levels of success. Like a Janelle James who was on the show. She was already popping before she did my show. Phoebe Robinson's been on the show. Black Girl Magic, two black women. Black Girl Magic. Van Hunt, who was already a successful musician, but then now he's dating Halle Berry. Who else? There's tons. Awkwafina, who was on the rise, but then she morphed into a Golden Globe winner. I'm just saying, I know Black Twitter don't be liking her and stuff and all that. We like karate and Wu-Tang and all that, but when she, anyway, it's been a lot of people. But I think one day, maybe for episode 600, which is looming upon us, it's coming at some point, I have to get one of my friends to host the Mundane Festival and then interview me and to see what happens within the next couple of years with my career. And then maybe I too can get the Mundane Festival bump, so we'll see what happens. I think that's actually a good idea. I gotta float that out to people. I gotta float that out, yeah, to see what happens. But back to Allison, who Allison Libby, who I think is very talented. She, because of that, because of all this influx of these comedy specials that really, for lack of a better term, that aren't that great, I think that serves as a special. She could be in talks to record this as a special, but I think it works. I think it works as a stand-up comedy special, even though you kind of have that, I guess you could say gloss of the theater on it. But to me, it plays as a special. And I think it's a taste thing. It's all subjective anyway. But that just happens to be my taste, where it's like, I like, after spending an hour with an artist on stage, watching an artist on stage and saying, oh, I kind of know who that person is. I don't know everything about them, but I have an idea of who that person is on stage because they revealed something personal. They were vulnerable. There's this honesty that's on stage, that this person exhibits on stage. I think it's a beautiful thing. I think that's what being an artist is about. So I think it closes tonight. By the time you hear this, it will have closed. And I'd been seeing so much about it the past few months. I was like, I got to make it down there. I got to make it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going. And I was kind of feeling a little, I was just kind of feeling bummed out, like just kind of like not in the mood to do anything. And I said, you know, actually right before I recorded that Better Call Saul cast with Rod and Veronica, I was just like, I'm going to get this ticket. I'm going to see this show. I'm seeing this show. And it was worth it. It was worth it. So, I mean, I don't know, whatever it is that you do to get inspired, do that. Try to do it once a week. Try to do it a couple times a month. And it felt so good to be in a room with people going to see something. You know, it was really, cause I love, as much as I love the movies, it's not the same thing. There's nothing like a live performance, and it was so good. Everybody was masked up, and I don't think I'd been to anything like that in a long time. I mean, I was involved in that with the Lehman Trilogy and stuff, but I haven't been on that end of it. So it was good to be in that seat again and see something that really, really good. So shout out to Allison. I'm going to bug her to see if she'll do a pod with me. She'll come back on and just kind of talk about her process. But it was terrific. And I hope she films it and gets to do it. And it comes on one of these streaming platforms, then it will be special because it's some really great work that she did. So that was fun. It was just so much fun. There's this thing in the news. I don't know what it is about people coming on stage and interfering and just like, I think I know I have one reason, but there's a story. I have one. What do I want to say? I have a theory basically. So there's this a couple of days ago. This is from Stereo Gum. Thundercat stage crasher ejected while attempting to sing for the audience. Okay, I'm going to read through this. Sometimes if you're lucky enough to be invited on stage during a show, the band might let you sing for/with them. Like that time the Strokes had a fan sing Ode to the Mets. And then there's what happened at a Thundercat. Chris, come on, bro. And then there's what happened at a Thundercat show earlier this week. During Thundercat's Tuesday night performance at College Street Music Hall in New Haven, a fan in the audience somehow got past security, jumped on stage mid-song, and hugged Thundercat, forcing him to pause the show. After giving Thundercat a long embrace, the stage crasher lowered the mic and said to the crowd, "Well, I'm here. I'm a singer." She sure seemed ready to live out her main character moment and give a live performance of her own, but the crowd was not having it, letting out a chorus of boos. Thundercat politely tried to nudge her back from the mic, and security took over, pulling her off to the side. The only thing missing was a vaudeville hook. Watch the entire scene go down below. I don't think they... Then Thundercat says, tonight was too lit. Whole night in flames, LOL. On the same night at a venue across town, a fan performed during Snail Mail's set, but that fan was invited. I got a story about that. Some of you know it. I think it's this this whole culture of social media being like you're the star of your own show. Like you have this account, you can put the camera on yourself and you're, I'm this, I'm that, I'm doing this. And for you to think that you could go to a concert where people paid good money to see somebody who's very talented at their craft, who's somebody who's worked tirelessly to get to the level where people want to pay to see them, you want to crash that show and try to do your own thing, and you want to skip the line. Like that's not good. That's one of the shitty things about this society, where you think you can, because you have a certain amount of followers or because you want to do something, that you can just like take somebody else's audience. It's a weird fascination that this culture, this country, the Western society, I guess, has with celebrity. Because everybody sees the performance. Everybody sees the glitz and the glamour. And one thing that I try to do about with this podcast, as somebody, it is a diary of somebody that's trying to gain some foothold and gain some foothold in this industry, in show business. But it's also kind of strips away. I try to strip away the facade of it just being glamour and glitz. Somebody said to me this week, like, oh, are you doing any shows? I said, oh, I didn't have any over the weekend, but I've just been working on auditions and stuff. And she's like, oh yeah, you know, I remember Tiffany Haddish said some such and such. I was like, well, yeah, I worked with Tiffany Haddish. She's like, you did? Oh yeah, you did work with her. Like, there's people like I've rubbed elbows with a lot of these people that we talk about all the time. Like I may not be best friends with them, but I have worked with those people. But that's like, you have to go through so much just to say those five or six lines to Tiffany Haddish, who at the time that I did that episode with her, she had shot Girls Trip and she was on the rise, like just really like starting to blow up. And I don't know, it's just some people, when they see you just because you're not famous, they don't think that you're I don't know what they think, but maybe that's my own personal shit. Maybe it's my own, I think some of it's my own personal shit, and it's the chip that I have on my shoulder. Like, and it's not like, it's like, just because I work here doesn't mean that I'm not, just because I work with you, just because I'm a desk jockey doesn't mean that I'm not good at stand-up or I'm not good at acting. Because I can, last night was proof, if you were in that room. No, none of you were, but people that I did not know, I walked in a room full of strangers and made them laugh and entertain them. Or when I get hired to do an acting job, I can do the job and be above average and do what I need to do and get paid for it. It's just, you know, those come, they don't come as often as others. But there's a higher percentage, there's a low percentage of the people that work all the time. It's probably single digits. And there's a number of people who are like these worker bees that will may always be that. And then some get that opportunity and rise and start and continue to work more and more. That's what that structure is. And I was like, I had to stand up for myself a little bit. I said, I'm a professional. And like, she's like, I'm in the union. I'm in a union for SAG and stage, Actors Equity, all that stuff. sometimes you got to let people know, because sometimes they try to like, they try to belittle you or say like something's a hobby. But this, back to this Thundercat thing. People try to skip the line, and I remember being on set the last time I shot something, and we were in the village. We're in the West Village, by where that McDonald's used to be, where people beat the shit out of each other once every month, and they finally close it down. If you're in New York, you know what's near the Comedy Cellar and the across the street from the Blue Note, that McDonald's. It's not, that doesn't exist anymore. And our base camp, which is where all the trailers and stuff are, where you get ready for, you get your costume on and all that stuff. And we're on location in the heart of West Village in New York City. Somebody knocks on my door. I think it's a production assistant. It's this kid that's like, I was like, excuse me. I was like, hey, how you doing? And I thought he was a production assistant. He said, hey, man, whatever you got to do, you know, I'm an actor. He was like trying to pitch himself to me. And I was like, dog, it doesn't work. Like, I was like, and I think a PA like got him away, but I was like, it doesn't work like that. I was like, do you know how much I had to work to get to say this one line to this beautiful fucking actress in this scene? It doesn't work like that. It's just like people just, they see the glamour and the glitz and they just think they could jump the line. Some people do, if you know somebody, but if you have connections and whatnot, you know, it's just, it makes me mad. And I hate that. Like there's not, and even as a fan of this industry, as a fan of a lot of these artists, there's no reverence. There's no reverence or respect. I don't know if it's because of my upbringing, because I had older parents, but you respect, because I have roots in the church, where it's like, I don't know. It's like, I've told this story before on the show a couple of times when I talk about my dad and I going to see Alicia Keys, and I was like 22. My dad didn't want to buy a ticket. So remember that story? Like my dad's out there. He's dressed nice and he kind of looks like a undercover cop. So people didn't bother him. So he just kind of stood by the wall in the back of the venue and just watched the show. And I had my seat and I see these people just like getting up while Alicia Keys is singing her ass off and killing the show, and there's people just kind of milling about like it's like this great artist isn't on stage killing it. And it blows my mind. And I just remember another time being at a show in the city. I think I was there to see Rachel Yamagata, and there was this singer, oh my god, let me see, I think he has a, I think the group now that he, Sanders Bulky, I think. Sanders, oh my God, I did remember that. So I had never heard of this guy before. Sanders Bulky, he's a singer-songwriter. He has some really good music. And he opened for Rachel Yamagata at, what is this venue? Oh my God. Oh my God, that's gonna fuck with me. He's at this venue in New York opening for Rachel Yamagata. This guy's like, oh God, I never heard of this guy. This guy's fucking killing it. A motherfucker has his ringer on and answers the phone as this guy is singing his ass off. It's like, what the fuck? The fucking disrespect. It's ridiculous, man. I hate it. There's no, like the homie JL, like he talks about like going to the theater, you put on pants, you put on some, I don't wear slacks all the time, but I have on pants when I go to the theater. It's just some form of like, I'm going to see a show, I'm going to be a participant. They joke about black audiences, like if you watch Kings of Comedy, how like they show some of the fan footage of like the audience coming. They are dressed to the nines and they look great and they're going to see this show. It's a big deal. They get babysitters for this. You make plans. You put aside money to go see these people, and those people paid to see Thundercat. They did not pay for this person to come on stage and try to sing. And I blame security for that shit too. Even though Thundercat's not he seems like a sweet guy. He plays good music. He's not going to incite a riot, but security needs to be on their shit, man. That's a problem. It happened to Chris Rock. It happened to Dave. It's happened to Thundercat. And I'm sure it happens. Like I have a friend of the podcast, even though what's his name? Greg Stone. I follow him he's been on the show before. I haven't seen him in a bit, but like he was performing, put up a clip where he's on stage and some woman just kind of just fucking tries to come on stage or like doesn't have any kind of spatial awareness. I don't know if she was trying to come on the stage because of what he was saying, but just going to interrupt the show and just be like an asshole. And he got on her for it. I think now a lot of comics, I've been hearing comics are doing like crowd work and putting that on Instagram for views and hits and stuff like that. And I see a lot of people I see a lot of my peers doing that. I am so mad at myself that I don't know what that venue is. And I'm so mad. I'm going to have to take this is going to have to be a diversion. Concert venues. This is making me. This is making me mad. It's not Zone 1. Terminal 5. Irving Plaza. Okay, we're getting somewhere. Why is that? That is the Bowery Ballroom. Thank God. Oh, my God. Oh, thank God. The Bowery Ballroom. I think it might have been like 20. I don't even remember, 2012 or something, 2013. But, the dude was singing. Sanders, shout out to Sanders Bulky, who's really talented. I got to get into his stuff again, man. There's just so many great artists. We'll talk about some music in a bit. His first thing that I heard was Ghost Boy. So Ghost Boy was 2012, so it could have been 2012 when I was at that show. I think that's about right. And he did have an album under the moniker of Rookie Season with him and this other guy. So he's good. It's good. Oh, he's also a Pisces. All right. So yeah, and like that one of my I'm stuttering, I'm all over the place. That time that I sung with Dwelle, my Al Bundy moment in 2005, I was invited to come on stage. And Dwelle backed me up on trumpet along with his band. So that was probably one of the coolest moments I ever had. But yeah, I think it's part of it. Part of it is that ego thing where it's like, oh, I'm going to sing too because I can do that. You know, I do not like that about us as a culture. I don't like it at all. I think just being somebody who does both, who's an audience member and a performer, there's a certain level of respect. There should be a high level of respect for the people that you're coming to see. I mean, I want to see professionals. I want to see somebody be the best version of themselves. Of themselves or of themselves when I pay to go see somebody. And I don't want any obstructions to that, especially not from an audience, another patron. You know what I mean? the fucking disrespect. It's just, that's one of my pet peeves. That's one of the things that just pissed me off so much. And a few other things, and we'll get out of here. They did HBO, speaking of HBO Max, we were talking about that. I was talking about that a little earlier. They released a teaser for the Last of Us TV show. And boy, am I excited about that. I am excited about that. But I just think that somebody said this on, they were talking about this on Double Toasted a couple, on YouTube a couple days ago, where they were saying like Naughty Dog, the Last of Us, both of those games, just taking the first one is one of the best stories ever told in any medium. It's not like they were doing anything. It's the way that they did it. And it was just beautiful. That can arguably be one of the best pieces of media made in the modern era. And I think they did with The Last of Us Part Two might be, and I've said this before, it might be one of the best gaming experiences I've ever had in my life. And everything is so cinematic and there's full immersion, but being something being so cinematic, it's hard to imagine what they would do with a live action production of it. So that's the intriguing thing. And it's almost like, well, you've done everything that you could almost do in this video game. Why do I need to see that on TV? But because of who's involved, because of the actors, I don't know about Bella Ramsey because I haven't seen the Game of Thrones or anything, but she seems like she's good. And Pedro Pascal, that motherfucker sound like Joel, man. I was joking about it. I was like, Joel should be white. He should be pure white. So Joel should be somebody that they live in Austin, but you don't know who he might have voted for, you know? Like, he could be MAGA, but you don't know. Like, before 2013, before the outbreak, you don't know who he voted for. So it could go either way. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to see it. It looks good. I'm excited to see what the infected look like. It's next year. So I'm rooting for it, and I'll definitely be there. I may have to do like some type of recap and really get into it. Maybe I do it myself, and maybe it's like a Patreon thing, and or see if we can get somebody else on. And I don't know who else likes T-Lou. It would be nice to get Leah Bonema back, but I don't know if that's her thing. Or I could just do it myself. Go for Dolo. CL for Dolo. Definitely excited about that. Super excited about The Last of Us Part 1, the remake for PlayStation. That's preloaded. I pre-ordered that, and I think there's going to be like a I don't know if Daddy's gonna like try to take a nap and then play at midnight, but I'm excited to revisit that story because it looks so good. And I'm excited. I'm not gonna be an asshole like some of these people online that are complaining about how much it costs. Well, don't get it. Just play the PS4 version that's old and doesn't have all the bells and whistles, you know. Do that if you're But people just want to put out content, and so be it. I'm excited for that. So that's a game I'm excited for. I guess I'm going to buy Madden and 2K like I always do. I just have to take that as something that I do. And supposedly some of my buddies are getting them so we can play online, just like they said they were going to do with Ninja Turtles. But that was like $20. But, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see if these guys are men of their word and we actually do some online gaming. That would be fun, because I very seldom do it. I think I've only done it a handful of times. I need to finish The Quarry, so I may try to do some play that this weekend. That's another fun game. I need to get back into play. I haven't played video games that much. I'm trying to get better as an artist. And so that's always good to have something fulfilling that you're doing, so you're not able to do the fun things that don't really, that entertain you, that some of the fun shit you like to do has to be put on the back burner for your pursuits that fulfill your soul. Can I do some Fat Boy Corner stuff? I feel like I haven't done much Fat Boy Corner stuff. I'm trying to be not as fat as I am, so I'm working on that. Although they did release, it's almost fall, along with pumpkin season, there are holiday treats from Reese's. The pumpkins are back. The pumpkins are back, and boy, are they good. So I've gotten some I put in the freezer, and I will sporadically munch on them for a while. But that's, I think we talked about this last year. The eggs are pretty good, but the chocolate peanut butter pumpkins, for some reason, is just symmetrically the best. The peanut to, I think it's just the peanut butter to chocolate ratio is the best that they've had since the ill-fated Reese's Bites. So those are good. I want to shout out Wegmans for, they opened up a Wegmans near my day job about 2 years ago. And I'd normally go there in the morning if I didn't have anything for breakfast. I get like some fruit, maybe a muffin or something. And then I just grab a sandwich that's like, you know, a pre-made sandwich that they have, you know, that they make and they, all that stuff. And it's good. It's usually like the holiday turkey sandwich. They put a little cranberry on it, and it's a nice hearty turkey sandwich. Like a roast beef sandwich they got that's pretty good. You know, their pasta, penne pasta is okay. You get a little salad. I had that on Thursday, I think. Wednesday I had one. But what I haven't really experienced that much is their salad bar. And the salad bar is good. And it's I think it's comparable to Chopped or even Sweetgreen. Now, Sweetgreen, now these standalone salad places, they're good. They're always going to be good. But just like you're at the store, I don't want to go anywhere else. I'm busy. Especially when you're getting off work. Now, I know that vibe. When you get off of work, you want like a meal, like maybe you just, I want a salad and it's good. Or I want like the wings. I mean, those wings are good. Wegmans has good wings. We know that. They have good pizza too, but their salads are good. And I've experienced their sandwiches, but not, I think one time I bought a sandwich from the Wegmans in Montvale, and I had the guy make it so I could eat it for lunch the next day. And that was good. But I also had their grill. I forget what kind of chicken it is, but it's just like their grilled chicken, and you can get whatever you want on it. That was good. I had a chicken tender sandwich there that was good. I had a tuna sandwich that was good. So I'm really impressed by Wegmans' like prepared food. Their hot bar is good. Wegmans is just to me right now, I guess it would just be my version of Publix, because I live in the Northeast. And I guess if I lived in the South, it would probably be Publix. And I'm kind of jealous of people that get to go to Publix. I enjoyed a sandwich that I had there. One of the last, because of the pandemic, one of the last moments of that I had with my dad. You know, we were coming back from North Carolina. We stopped there. We got sandwiches there. It was good. Like, not last moments, but memories with my dad more recently. That was a good sandwich. And I remember earlier this year in February, I got some groceries. I was doing a show in the Richmond area. And on my way back, I went to a Publix and got some stuff. They have good Publix. I think they're neck and neck. I would just give Wegmans the edge because I haven't spent that much time going to Publix. But then Publix would kind of have that. It's more of a novelty for me, I guess, because I don't get to have it that much. Shout out to Leonard Brothers. He posts stuff that he gets from there. He was talking about some kind of lobster dip or something one day. I don't know, but whatever he was talking about at the time looked good. So I like Wegmans. I'm really impressed by their prepared foods, and their bakery's good too. My mother really likes the pecan pie. The last time I got some stuff for her, I got her an apple pie. I have to ask her how that was. She didn't say. But impressed by Wegmans. Also impressed, if you're in a pinch, Wawa has a pretty good burger. Now I'm saying, is it better than like McDonald's or Burger King? I don't think so. But if you're at Wawa and you're like in the middle of nowhere in the Northeast or the Mid-Atlantic region, and you're just like, I could go for a burger, I don't think you'd be disappointed. I was kind of hungry the night that I got it. I said, let me get a sandwich for work tomorrow. And I was hungry. I was like, I want to try a burger. And I got like a double cheeseburger. I was satiated. I'm not going to lie to you. I enjoyed it. It was good. It's good. Okay. So I think that's enough for Fat Boy Corner. I did, before I hit record on here earlier this morning, I ordered some Giordano's frozen pizzas because I want a deep dish pizza. I have a taste for a deep dish pizza. So that'll come next week. And I've done Lou Malnati's, which is very good. But Lou Malnati's is a different style of deep dish. Giordano's, a little different from Uno's even. Different kind of deep, like real deep dish to the point where you're like, is this lasagna? You know what I mean? So I'm looking forward to that. I think that's it on the Fat Boy Corner. Holiday candies, Halloween candy from Reese's, pumpkins are good. I didn't see any bats. If you see the pumpkins, you get the pumpkins. That's what you get first. That's good. We talked about that. We talked about salads and sandwiches from Wegmans that are very good. Let's talk about some Muzak and then a one movie. And the Patreon folks, you'll get a letterbox dump, and maybe I'll complain about something in showbiz. So you'll get that by the time you're listening to this. You'll have that. Rapper Big Pooh to Dream in Color came out on Monday. Now, I told you I was anticipating this album. I was excited to hear it. There are a couple of singles that were released prior to the 22nd when it came out. I was surprised. I didn't know when that date was, so I thought it was going to be on a Tuesday. But when I woke up Monday, I was like, oh, okay, it's out. Because Apple Music will let you know when something you've been like into is coming out. And so I was just like, okay. So I'm like, I know what I'm listening to going to work. And it's great. I think rapper Big Pooh, and I told you guys about this the last time, Sleepers was he's come out with other projects, and he's very talented. He's very good. But I think the older he's gotten, the better he's gotten really, the older he's become, as he's gotten older, he's gotten even better. And I always liked him even, you know, coming up. But it's just like, he's gotten to the point, And I think it happened. I noticed it with Fonte too, with May the Lord Watch, with the both of them. It just felt like they were talking. It's like, these dudes are so good, and rapper Big Pooh is so good. It's like, yeah, you're on the beat and everything, but it's like, this motherfucker's just talking to me over a beat. And he's so skilled that you don't really notice the rhyme. And he's talking about his life. I've never heard, I mean, I don't know when I've heard a rapper talking about driving Uber. I mean, he mentioned that, he alluded to it on May the Lord Watch, but he kind of went into more depth on some of these records talking about his life. And it's just very strong, very strong album. There's no skips on this. It's not even that long. Let me see what the length is. It 38 minutes, 30 minutes, not long, 10 songs. And it's good. I wish you could look at production credits. If you guys know a website, a definitive website for production credits, let me know. Tweet at me and let me know. But I really think it's good. I listened to it twice, so I got to listen to it more. But I listened to it on the way down to Staten Island. And yeah, it's just a good fucking album. And rapper Big Pooh, always been a fan. Always been kind of biased because he's from the area. He's from Northern Virginia. Yeah, he's terrific, man. This album is, yeah, it's very good. It's very, very, very good. I like it a lot. I like seeing this, man. I like seeing these guys that are in their 40s that are just, because we've never really been here with hip hop, and we've never been here with this genre. And I think now we're in this place where these older guys are showing you how to do it. They're showing you how you can do it and be highly skilled and be relevant and talk about your life and make that work, you know. And that goes into what I want to talk about with this Black Thought and Danger Mouse album, this Cheat Codes. Holy shit. Black Thought is just, for my money, the best that ever did it. And it's no slight to anybody. It's just, that's how I feel. And you guys know, if you listen to this pod long enough, you know who my top five are. I'll go over it again. It's like Black Thought. It's Black Thought and everybody else. It's Black Thought, Mos Def, the artist formerly known as Mos Def, Common, Q-Tip, and Fonte. And so this stuff with Danger Mouse, it works so well. I liked all the singles. I love the samples. I have to dig into it more, but I listened to it several times, and I listened to that on the way down, because that's another one that's not that long. That one might be the one that's a little longer at 38 minutes. That might be what I was thinking about. Let me pull it up here. Cheat Codes is 38 minutes. And, excuse me. It's got Raekwon on here, Joey Badass, ASAP Rocky, Conway, and this record Belize, with MF Doom, the late great MF Doom. And like I told you, I'm not an MF Doom scholar, but I've grown to appreciate a lot of his work. And I kind of got teary-eyed listening to it for the first time. I was on my way to work a couple weeks ago when it came out, and it's not a sad song. And I'm not gonna consider myself to just be, I'm definitely not a scholar of his music. And I'm not one of those dudes that can break down a song in like the first time I hear it. But I just got this visceral reaction. It's most of it's because he's passed. And just this flow over that production, like Black Thought starts it off, and it's so good. Belize is just like, that's, it's great, man. That's just a great record. And to have that with like, with Black Thought, and it's just real, it's just an inspiring record. It's definitely like, it's so good to hear, like, Black Thought is like 50 years old doing this shit, and he's not like, he hasn't lost a step. He's, you can argue, and I would, with in a craft like hip hop and craft of rhyming like that, I think you get better with age. And I think that we're just kind of in this golden era of hip hop where these guys are. I know people talk about 96. I was a part of that. I was living in that era. I mean, you know, I remember those albums, but I started to appreciate hip hop a lot more probably maybe when I got to college, you know, and started experiencing these different artists. I was more of an R&B guy, but like the rhyme, it's very, very, I think we're in a really good place. I mean, I would just say, you know, the record that Nas did towards the end of the year, what's that? Was it Magic? What is it called? I think it's called Magic. I'll look it up, because I was just thinking about that last night. I was like, oh man, the Nas album's really good. Magic is the last record. Yeah, just came out right before Christmas with Hit Boy, I want to say. It's, yeah, the late, let's see if that, it is a Hit Boy. I want to say it is. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But you had, so like this year, for me, just for me, Kendrick, Joey Badass, rapper Big Pooh, who else? See, now I'm going to forget somebody. Kendrick, rapper Big Pooh. I know. Oh, man. Black Thought and Danger Mouse. It there's been some really good releases. I have to look at this thing because I had to look at my playlist or the recently added. It's just a lot of I have to look at this library. A lot of good stuff. And then I haven't even gotten to like, I started listening to this Domo Genesis album, Intros, Outros, and Interludes. That I believe Evidence produced this. Yeah, he did. And it came out July 29th. That's another one that I was like, oh shit, I gotta listen to that. That's good. I think hip hop is in a really good place. I'm trying to see if there was someone else. West Side Gun album was good, but I haven't really delved into that. I like this kid, Coda the Friend, I told you about not too long ago. There's been some good stuff, and I guess maybe I'll look at this, what Diddy said about R&B music, saying R&B music was dead. Lupe Fiasco, also great. It's been some good stuff, man. Lupe's probably just turned 40 not too long ago, and that's very good. Like, drill music in Zion. So it's like Lupe, rapper Big Pooh, Joey Badass. Joey's young, though, but he's kind of like a throwback. Yeah, it's just so many good albums out. You can see me, you can hear me that I'm being forgetful. There's just been so much good music out. And I haven't even, there's no way that I'm going to know all the good shit that's come out this year. Because I've been mainly listening to podcasts and stuff. But it's just been some phenomenal stuff coming out lately. But this Black Thought and Danger Mouse, holy shit, man. I know, I guess, and I said this earlier, I guess it's my old age, me getting older, losing some testosterone, I guess, but just like, Belize got me, it's just like, just being like, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm vulnerable at like 6 a.m, and I'm in a different kind of headspace, because I'm thinking, and I'm driving, But my God, is that a good song. Holy shit. And it's beautiful. Like, it's a beautiful thing where it's like, even though MF Doom is gone, that's the, and I've said this hundreds of times on the show, that's what you wish for as an artist. I can only speak from that perspective, like putting something out that people like, and after you're gone, you can still, people can still hear you. And it's almost like these dudes, to me, these guys that really, that I really connect with, and these musicians, whatever they do, these musicians that you connect with, like, in a lot of ways, but I think it's like, from a hip hop perspective, I just only speak from this hip hop perspective for me, it's like, especially as a performer list that listens to hip hop, it's like they're laying down the blueprint of like, they've already done it. They've already talked their shit, and they've talked their shit on these records, and they're kind of laying down a blueprint of like, now you go get yours in whatever field you're in. Like, whether it be you're a comedian, you're performing, or you're a speaker, or you're whatever it is, like whatever it is, your field of study, your field of choice, go get it. Like, I'm getting mine. I got mine. I laid down this track, and this is the blueprint. Like, this is me. I'm talking my shit. You go talk yours. I don't know. That's what it is for me in a lot of ways. Yes, and it's definitely entertainment, and it gets you, you know, takes you to a different headspace. But I just think for me, man, like, it just means a lot. I like these guys talking that shit over these beats, man. And I love to see these guys in their 40s and now 50s really doing it at a high level, really doing it at a high level, really putting out some of the best work of their careers, if dare I say. Let me give you a quick movie review, and let's get the hell out of here. You've listened to me blab enough. Beast, I saw it last weekend. This Idris Elba movie. Let's read the Google blurb. Beast is a 2022 American survival thriller, even though it took place in South Africa. Thriller film directed by Baltasar Kormakur from... Oh my God, this is not a good... I'm not going to read that Google blurb because it was not good. Let's go here. Here we go. Beast. Let's try this again. Fight for Family, directed by Baltasar Kormakur, I think. A recently widowed man and his two teenage daughters travel to a game reserve in South Africa. However, their journey of healing turns into a fight for survival when a bloodthirsty lion starts to stalk them. It stars Idris Elba, Leah Jeffries, and Ayanna Holly. I liked it. It's fine. When I heard that Idris Elba's daughter auditioned for a part to play his daughter and didn't book the role, I said, well, to myself, I read that before seeing the movie, and I was like, these girls better be good. These girls in this movie were very good that played his daughters. One of them, the oldest one, was estranged. The oldest one kind of had a little more to do than the young one, but they were both very good. So I don't know, like, nepotism. And then they were saying stuff like, because people get mad about the nepotism when it just doesn't relate to them. I don't know. That's kind of weird. And he said, oh, the chemistry is different. Excuse me. The chemistry is different with on screen than in real life. And then I wonder, like, okay, are you not hanging out with your daughter enough, Idris, where you don't have chemistry with her? What's going on there, buddy? I don't know. But I don't know how I feel about that, because no one before Will Smith slapped Chris Rock, people were, but you know, he's like public enemy number one in show business now. And before that happened, when he did After Earth and the produced that Karate Kid movie. People were complaining about that, but they never say anything about Nick Cage or Sofia Coppola. And I like Sofia Coppola. I like a lot of her work. But they don't ever say anything about the white people who participate in the industry with their family members, you know. And I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about this guy's, yeah, my daughter that was on the show. I was like, oh, your daughter was like, damn. Like, you don't, you know, it's nepotism is a thing. I wonder, now these girls are good. I just wonder how, I think his daughter will work if she wants to be an actress, but I don't know. Part of me just feels bad for the daughter, his daughter. Like, she didn't talk to him for like 3 weeks. And I just thought the movie was fine. I don't know. I want to see this new movie. What's the George? Is it the George Miller movie that I like Idris Elba, but they just haven't. My favorite thing that he's done has been Luther. And he's been fine in everything else. I don't know what I want to. Let's see. 3,000 Years of Longing, where he plays this like genie or something. So they call him a djinn who offers her 3 wishes. Filled with apathy, she is unable to come up with one until his story sparks in her a desire to be loved. Okay. I thought it was okay. I think you can wait till for streaming. I thought there was some really intense moments with the lion. And it's always like, it's these stories where you have a family that's fractured. His character. So basically Idris's character is a doctor, an American doctor who was having trouble with his wife, and they broke up. I don't know if they were officially divorced. It's in the movie, but as he was breaking up with his wife, the wife got cancer. She got sick and died. And so his daughters resent him, especially the eldest daughter really resents him for leaving and not being with her and just not being completely there. So they go on this trip to be together, and then they have this lion attack them, and that brings them together. And then so on and so forth. It's solid, but I just wanted to support the movie in the theater. But I think you could wait. It's solid. You know, I actually like that movie. I like that movie he did with Kate Winslet. I like that better than this. Like, that was more against the elements as opposed to an animal, like a beast. So it was kind of like a horror movie. What is it? Was it The Mountains Between Us? Yeah, The Mountain Between Us. Him and Kate Winslet. Good movie. All right, folks. I have blabbed enough, and I think you're tired of me at this point. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you, and I will talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.